When the bat woke up that night, he thought, "Now I'll begin on the cardinal." He thought about how red the cardinal was and how he sang and what he ate and how he fed his big brown babies. But somehow he couldn't get started. All the next day he watched the cardinal. The bat hung from his rafter, a few feet from the feeder. And whenever the cardinal came to the feeder, he'd stare at him and hope he'd get an idea. It was queer the way the cardinal cracked the sunflower seeds. Instead of standing on them and hammering them open like a titmouse, he'd turn them over and over in his beak. It gave him a thoughtful look, and all at once, the seed would fall open, split in two. While the cardinal was cracking the seed, his two babies stood underneath him on tiptoe, fluttering their wings and quivering all over, their mouths wide open. They were a beautiful, soft, bright brown. Even their beaks were brown. And they were already as big as their father. Really, they were old enough to feed themselves, and did whenever he wasn't there. But as long as he was there, they begged and begged, till the father would fly down by one and stuff the seed in its mouth, while the other quivered and cheeped as if its heart were breaking. The father, who was such a beautiful, clear, bright red, with his tall crest, the wind rippled like fur. It didn't seem right for him to be so harried and useful and hard-working. It was like seeing a general in a red uniform washing hundreds and hundreds of dishes. The babies followed him everywhere and kept sticking their open mouths up by his mouth. They shook all over him, they begged so hard, and he never got a bite for himself. But it was no use. No matter how much the bat watched, he never got an idea. Finally, he went to the chipmunk and said in a perplexed voice, "I can't make up a poem about the cardinal." The chipmunk said, "Well, just say what he's like, the way you did with the owl and me." "I would if I could," the bat said, "but I can't. I don't know why I can't, but I can't. I watch him, and he's just beautiful. He'd make a beautiful poem, but I can't think of anything." "That's queer," the chipmunk said. The bat said in a discouraged voice, "I guess I can't make portraits of the animals after all." "What a shame." "Oh, well," the bat said, "it was just so I'd have somebody to say them to. Now that I've got you, I'm all right. When I get a good idea, I'll make a poem about it and say it to you." "I'll tell the cardinal you couldn't," the chipmunk said. "He won't be too disappointed. He never has heard a poem. I tried to tell him what they're like, but I don't think he really understood." He went off to tell the cardinal, and the bat flew home. He felt relieved. It was wonderful not to have to worry about the cardinal anymore. All morning, the mockingbird had been chasing everything out of the yard. He gave you the feeling that having anything else in the world was more than he could bear. Finally, he flew up to the porch, sat on the arm of a chair, and began to chirp in a loud, impatient, demanding way, until the lady who lived inside brought him out some raisins. He flew up to a branch, waited impatiently, and as soon as she was gone, dived down on the raisins and ate up every one. Then he flew over to the willow and began to sing with all his might. The bat clung to his rafter, listening drowsily. Sometimes he would open his eyes a little, and the sunlight and the shadows and the red and yellow and orange branches waving in the wind made a kind of blurred pattern, so that he would blink and let his eyelids steal together and go contentedly back to sleep. When he woke up, it was almost dark. The sunlight was gone, and the red and yellow and orange leaves were all gray. But the mockingbird was still singing. The porch light was lit, and there were already dozens of insects circling around it. As the bat flew toward them, he felt hungry but comfortable. Just then, the mockingbird began to imitate a jay. Not the way a jay squawks or scolds, but the way he really sings, in a deep, soft voice. As he listened, the bat remembered how the mockingbird had driven off two jays that morning. He thought, it's queer the way he drives everything off and then imitates it. You wouldn't think that. And at that instant, he had an idea for a poem. The insects were still flying around and around the light. The mockingbird was still imitating the jay, but the bat didn't eat, and he didn't listen. He flapped slowly and thoughtfully back to his rafter and began to work on the poem. When he finally finished it, he'd worked on it on and off for 2 nights. He flew off to find the chipmunk. I've got a new one, he said happily. What's it about? The mockingbird. The mockingbird? The chipmunk repeated. Say it to me. He was sitting up with his paws on his chest, looking intently at the bat. It was the way he always listened. The bat said, look one way and the sun is going down. Look the other and the moon is rising. The sparrow's shadow's longer than the lawn. The bats squeak, night is here. The birds cheep, day is gone. On the willow's highest branch, monopolizing day and night, cheeping, squeaking, soaring, the mockingbird is imitating life. All day, the mockingbird has owned the yard. As light first woke the world, the sparrows trooped onto the seedy lawn. The mockingbird chased them off, shrieking. Hour by hour, fighting hard to make the world his own, he swooped on thrushes, thrashers, jays, and chickadees. At noon, he drove away a big black cat. Now, in the moonlight, he sits here and sings. A thrush is singing, then a thrasher, then a jay, then, all at once, a cat begins meowing. A mockingbird can sound like anything. He imitates the world he drove away so well that for a minute, in the moonlight, which one's the mockingbird? Which one's the world? When he had finished, the chipmunk didn't say anything. The bat said uneasily, did you like it? For a minute, the chipmunk didn't answer him. Then he said, it really is like him. You know, he's chased me. And can he imitate me? You wouldn't think he'd drive you away and imitate you. You wouldn't think he could. The bat could see that what the chipmunk said meant that he liked the poem, but he couldn't keep from saying, you do like it? The chipmunk said, yes, I like it, but he won't like it. You like the one about you, the bat said. Yes, the chipmunk answered, but he won't like the one about him. The bat said, but it is like him. The chipmunk said, just like. Why don't you go say it to him? I'll go with you. When they found the mockingbird, it was one of his good days. The bat told him that he had made up a new poem. Could I say it to you? He asked. He sounded timid, guilty almost. To be sure, answered the mockingbird and put on his listening expression. The bat said, it's a poem about, well, about mockingbirds. The mockingbird repeated, about mockingbirds. His face had changed so that he had to look listening all over again. Then the bat repeated to the mockingbird his poem about the mockingbird. The mockingbird listened intently, staring at the bat. The chipmunk listened intently, staring at the mockingbird. When the bat had finished, nobody said anything. Finally, the chipmunk said, did it take you long to make it up? Before the bat could answer, the mockingbird exclaimed angrily, you sound as if there was something wrong with imitating things. Oh, no, the bat said. Well, then, you sound as if there was something wrong with driving them off. It's my territory, isn't it? If you can't drive things off your own territory, what can you do? The bat didn't know what to say. After a minute, the chipmunk said uneasily, he just meant it's odd to drive them off and then imitate them so well, too. Odd? Cried the mockingbird. Odd? If I didn't, it really would be odd. Did you ever hear of a mockingbird that didn't? The bat said politely, no, indeed. No, it's just what mockingbirds do. That's really why I made up the poem about it. I admire mockingbirds so much, you know. The chipmunk said, he talks about them all the time. A mockingbird's sensitive, said the mockingbird. When he said sensitive, his voice went way up and way back down again. They get on my nerves. You don't understand how much they get on my nerves. Sometimes I think if I can't get rid of them, I'll go crazy. If they didn't get on your nerves so, maybe you wouldn't be able to imitate them so well, the chipmunk said in a helpful, hopeful voice. The way they sing, cried the mockingbird. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. The same thing, always the same old thing. If only they just once sing something different. The bat said, yes, I can see how hard on you it must be. I meant for the poem to show that, but I'm afraid I must not have done it right. You just haven't any idea, the mockingbird went on, his eyes flashing and his feathers standing up. Nobody but a mockingbird has any idea. The bat and the chipmunk were looking at the mockingbird with the same impressed, uneasy look. From then on, they were very careful what they said. Mostly, they just listened while the mockingbird told them what it was like to be a mockingbird. Toward the end, he seemed considerably calmer and more cheerful, and even told the bat he'd enjoyed hearing his poem. The bat looked pleased and asked the mockingbird, did you like the way I rhymed the first lines of the stanzas and then didn't rhyme the last two? The mockingbird said shortly, I didn't notice. The chipmunk told the mockingbird how much he always enjoyed hearing the mockingbird sing. And a little later, the bat and the chipmunk told the mockingbird goodbye. When they had left, the two of them looked at each other, and the bat said, you were right. Yes, said the chipmunk. Then he said, I'm glad I'm not a mockingbird. I'd like to be because of the poems, the bat said. But as long as I'm not, I'm glad I'm not. He thinks that he's different from everything else, the chipmunk said. And he is. The bat said, just as if he hadn't heard the chipmunk, I wish I could make up a poem about bats. The chipmunk asked, why don't you? If I had one about bats, maybe I could say it to the bats. That's right. For weeks he wished that he had the poem. He would hunt all night and catch and eat hundreds and hundreds of gnats and moths and crickets. And all the time he would be thinking, if only I could make up a poem about bats. One day he dreamed that it was done and that he was saying it to them. But when he woke up, All he could remember was the way it ended. At sunrise, suddenly, the porch was bats. 1,000 bats were hanging from the rafter. It sounded wonderful in his dream, but now it just made him wish that the bats still slept on the porch. He felt cold and lonely. Two squirrels had climbed up in the feeder and were making the same queer noise, a kind of whistling growl, to scare each other away. Somewhere on the other side of the house, the mockingbird was singing. The bat shut his eyes. For some reason, he began to think of the first things he could remember. Till Bat is 2 weeks old, he's never alone. A little naked thing, he hasn't even any fur, clings to his mother wherever she goes. After that, she leaves him at night. He and the other babies hang there sleeping, till at last their mothers come home to them. Sleepily, almost dreaming, the bat began to make up a poem about a mother and her baby. It was easier than the other poems, somehow. All he had to do was remember what it had been like and every once in a while put in a rhyme. But easy as it was, he kept getting tired and going to sleep and would forget parts and have to make them over. When at last he finished, he went to say it to the chipmunk. The trees were all bare, and the wind blew the leaves past the chipmunk's hole. It was cold. When the chipmunk stuck his head out, it looked fatter than the bat had ever seen it. The chipmunk said in a slow, dazed voice, "It's all full. My hole's all full." And he exclaimed surprisedly to the bat, "How fat you are." "I?" the bat asked. "I'm fat?" Then he realized it was so. For weeks, he'd been eating and eating and eating. He said, "I've done my poem about the bats. It's about a mother and her baby." "Say it to me," the bat said. "A bat is born naked and blind and pale. His mother makes a pocket of her tail and catches him. He clings to her long fur by his thumbs and toes and teeth. And then the mother dances through the night, doubling and looping, soaring, somersaulting. Her baby hangs on underneath. All night, in happiness, she hunts and flies. Her high, sharp cries, like shining needle points of sound, go out into the night, and echoing back, tell her what they have touched. She hears how far it is, how big it is, which way it's going. She lives by hearing. The mother eats the moths and gnats she catches in full flight. In full flight, the mother drinks the water of the pond she skims across. Her baby hangs on tight. Her baby drinks the milk she makes him in moonlight or starlight in midair. Their single shadow, printed on the moon or fluttering across the stars, whirled on all night. At daybreak, the tired mother flaps home to her rafter. The others, all are there. They hang themselves up by their toes. They wrap themselves in their brown wings. Bunched upside down, they sleep in air. Their sharp ears, their sharp teeth, their quick, sharp faces are dull and slow and mild. Oh, the bright day, as the mother sleeps, she folds her wings about her sleeping child. When the bat had finished, the chipmunk said, "It's all really so." "Why, of course," the bat said. "And you do all that too? If you shut your eyes and make a noise, you can hear it where I am and which way I'm going?" "Of course." The chipmunk shook his head and said wonderingly, "You bats sleep all day and fly all night and see with your ears and sleep upside down and eat while you're flying and drink while you're flying and turn somersaults in midair with your baby hanging on and it's really queer." The bat said, "Did you like the poem?" "Oh, of course. Except I forgot it was a poem. I just kept thinking how queer it must be to be a bat." The bat said, "No, it's not queer. It's wonderful to fly all night. And when you sleep all day with the others, it feels wonderful." The chipmunk yawned. "The end of it made me feel all sleepy," he said. "But I was already sleepy. I'm sleepy all the time now." The bat thought, "Why, I am too." He said to the chipmunk, "Yes, it's winter. It's almost winter." "You ought to say the poem to the other bats," the chipmunk said. "They'll like it, just the way I like the one about me." "Really? I'm sure of it. When it has all the things you do, you can't help liking it." "Thank you so much for letting me say it to you," the bat said. "I will say it to them. I'll go say it to them now." "Goodbye," said the chipmunk. "I'll see you soon. Just as soon as I wake up, I'll see you." "Goodbye," the bat said. The chipmunk went back into his hole. It was strange to have him move so heavily and to see his quick face so slow. The bat flew slowly off to the barn. In the west, over the gray hills, the sun was red. In a little while, the bats would wake up, and he could say them the poem. High up under the roof, in the farthest corner of the barn, the bats were hanging upside down, wrapped in their brown wings. Except for one, they were fast asleep. The one the little brown bat lighted by was asleep. When he felt someone light by him, he yawned and screwed his face up and snuggled closer to the others. "As soon as he wakes up, I'll say it to him," the bat thought. "No, I'll wait till they're all awake." On the other side of him was the bat who was awake. That one gave a big yawn, snuggled closer to the others, and went back to sleep. The bat said to himself sleepily, "I wish I'd said we'd sleep all winter. That would have been a good thing to have in." He yawned. He thought, "It's almost dark. As soon as it's dark, they'll wake up and I'll say them the poem. The chipmunk said they'd love it." He began to say the poem over to himself. He said, in a soft, contented whisper, "A bat is born naked and blind and pale. His mother makes a pocket of her tail and catches him. He clings. He tried to think of what came next, but he couldn't remember. It was about fur, but he couldn't remember the words that went with it. He went back to the beginning. He said, "A bat is born naked and blind. But before he could get any further, he thought, I wish I'd said we'd sleep all winter. His eyes were closed. He yawned and screwed his face up and snuggled closer to the others.